Morning, everyone. My name's Charlie Beer, and I'm still a very grateful recovered addict. Yeah, you know, I'd like to thank you for inviting me down, Jay. You know, it's the first time someone's given me a mic. You know, so hold on tight. If there's any newcomers in here, welcome, and you struck gold. You know, cocaine and numbers saved my life. And not only has it saved my life, this stuff, funny enough, has a ripple effect, you know. As a direct result of me recovering from a hopeless state of mind and body, my family have recovered, yeah. Society has recovered, you know. All aspects of my life has recovered, you know. I introduce myself as a very grateful recovered addict. That's not to belittle anyone or make anyone feel any different. You know, that's what it tells me in the Step 9 Promises. This book tells me time and time again I can recover from a hopeless state of mind and body. I'll always be an addict, yeah, but it's contingent on what I do on a daily basis, yeah. I can handle life today, you know, because that's why I used, you know, because I suffer with a spiritual malady, mate. Yeah, I'm restless, I'm irritable and I'm discontent, you know. So what do I do when I'm like that? I pick up. You know, because I can't handle life, you know. I bury my head in the sand, you know. Basically, I suffer with a twofold illness, obsession of mind and allergy to the body. Now, what that means is if you are new, you know, when I put a drink in me or a drug, I'll be at the bar and I'll be talking to someone and it won't be registering what they're saying to me. All I'll be thinking about is going back in that toilet to do another line. Because I've set the allergy off, mate, and that's coupled with what's called a phenomenon of craving. You know, once I start, I cannot stop. You know, when I first come in, my sponsor is here, and he said to me, "You're an alcoholic, mate." I said, "No, I'm not an alcoholic." I say, "I ain't got a problem with drink. I like drink." And oh, right. He said, "You sure you ain't got a problem with drink?" I said, "No, mate, my illness talking for me, you see. Get away from him." He said, "Well, that's handy." He said, "You won't have a problem giving it up, will you?" So if you are new, yeah, make sure you really do want this, because CA really does fuck your using up. If you want it, yeah. Now, I'm of one of them varieties. When I come in, I didn't want it. You see, I come in for all the wrong reasons. I come in to keep all my family happy, yeah, to get everyone off my back. I didn't want to stop using, you know, and I couldn't stop. And I'll get to that a little bit later on down the line, you know. I basically what happened to me, it got so bad for me, you know. I got took out of society. I got sectioned. And I was in this place for 6 weeks, rehab, nut house, whatever you want to call it. And the only thing I can think about when I was in there was using, yeah. Nothing else was on my mind other than using, you know. I was so sick, I didn't know I was sick, you know. I got took to this place, and this is how bad I was. I thought my own brothers, who loved me dearly, was taking me somewhere to off me. You know, that's where my using and my drinking took me, you know. I completely went off my head. And I tried jumping out of the car on the A40 on the way there. You know, thank God one of them caught me, you know. And they decided to put me in the middle then, you know. I thought I was a danger. And I got to this place. It was late at night. I'll never forget it. And I've got one brother this side and one brother that side and two big nurses, and they got me on the bed and they said, "Take this pill." I said, "I ain't taking no pills, mate." Now bear in mind, the weekend before, I've been out in a rave taking God knows what, right? Yeah. These people want to give me something to calm me down and help me, and I'm telling them, "Get away from me. Yeah, you're not coming nowhere near me with them pills." And I just remember looking out the corner of my eye and I see my older brother start crying. And I've never seen him cry before in my life, you know what I mean? It's choking me up a little bit. And something just went, "Take the pill." So I took the pill. I don't know what it was, but it was fucking great. It was this little yellow thing. They said, put it on your tongue. I put it on my tongue. It dissolved. And I just, I went on a different planet, you know. 20 minutes later, I'm knocking back on the door. Give me some more of them fucking pills. So it don't matter what it is, what I take, if it changes the way I feel, mate, I want more of it, you know. And I was in there for 6 weeks, and, you know, this is how cunning and baffling the illness is, you know. It taught, because I don't know about any of you, it used to tell me things, and I used to take action upon what it used to tell me, you know. And I used to say to all the therapists in there, no, I'm not an addict, mate. There's nothing wrong with me, yeah. I'm okay. My friend's just died. I'm grieving. And they went, all right, then, no problem. Well, we'll put you in CBT. I don't know what it stands for, still to this day, but it's a lot of bollocks anyway. They had me in these fields hugging trees and, you know, getting connected to nature. I'm just thinking, fuck, I just want to fucking get out of here, you know. And I'm just telling them things, what I think they want to hear to get me out. And they're changing me meds around and this, that, the other, and they're saying to me, they said, on paper, I'm registered insane. Now, I've got all sorts of disorders. I'm bipolar, I'm schizophrenic, all this stuff, right? You know, and they said, you're going to have to be on olanzapine, lithium, zopiclone, all this shit, and they said, you're going to have to be on that for the rest of your life, yeah? Now, I'm not a doctor, so if there's anyone on any medication or anything like that, don't take this from me, yeah? All I'm is just a recovered addict, you know, but there was something I knew that wasn't what I was, you know, what they labelled me as, you know. By the grace of God, I'm not on none of that stuff today, you know. But they had me on it, and I come out of there. I was in there for 6 weeks, and I got took to my first CA meeting. It was on a Sunday night at Barnes. Me and my sponsor, he took me there, and I walked in this meeting, and I could see that there was people happy, as we are, you know, and there's laughing and joking, you know. But like I said, I was very sick, and I didn't want to stop, you know. I was coming for all the wrong reasons, keep my family happy, and I thought, what's going on here, you know? I thought, this is a bit weird, you know. And then the pop went round. I thought, that's it. They're all here for a few quid. That's how sick I was, you know. I never had no money, never had fuck all, because, you know, I was broken in every department, mate. You know, physically, mentally, financially, mate. I was on the floor, you know. And I kept coming back. Part of the reason I kept coming back is to keep my family happy, you know. And I sat in Cocaine Anonymous for 18 months, as a very few people know, you know. And I used to come out of meetings and I'd use, you know, and I just used to think, fucking cunts. That's fucking sick, mate, these are. Little did I know that I was the sickest person in there, you know, because I didn't think I was as sick as you. You know, that's really sick, isn't it? You know what I mean? And I used to sit next to Lee and I used to think, oh, fucking hell, he's sick, mate, he is. Sorry, Lee, I had to put that one in there, mate. And, you know, but a lot of people in this room have been a massive part of my recovery, you know. I used to go to Richmond every Wednesday, just sit up in the corner, overcoat on that, you know, and it'd come round to my name, I'd go, hello, I'm Charlie, put me head down, you know, full of resentment, couldn't stop using. And it got to a point where it got so bad for me, the drink and the drugs, they stopped working. They stopped giving me that sense of ease and comfort like it talks about in the book, you know. So now I'm banging fucking trouble, yeah. I'm using, and it's not giving me that sense of ease and comfort. And I went away on holiday, me and my dad and my brother and someone else, and who was in Miami, and I was out there, and you know, it's really hard to get Rizzlers in Miami for some reason, you know. So I started drinking heavily, you know, and it just wasn't working. I wasn't getting pissed. And I can remember saying to my brother, fucking shit out here, the drink. They must water it down, you know. I was drinking bottles of vodka, whatever I could get my hands on, and it wasn't giving me that sense of ease and comfort, you know. And I come back, but this was my last use up, you know. I had 2 pints of Stella and a joint, and that was it. It was a big joint, but that was it. And I was sitting in my room, and all of a sudden, I've just finished this joint, and I'm laying on my bed, and my heart starts going bang, 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 bang. I think I'm fucking dying here. Something's drastically going wrong. You know, it was really fucking my buzz up as well, you know. Now, on my front door, I've got about 50,000 different locks. I don't know about any use to get a bit digi in the using days, you know what I mean? And this is how selfish and self-centred I am, you know, and that's the root of our troubles it talks about in the book, you know. I'm thinking to myself, if I go over, it's going to be very hard for them to get in. Deluded. Yeah? So I hobbled up, went to my front door, undone all the locks, and I just put the little chub lock on. And I went back to my little cave and laid there, thought that'd do. Didn't think of ringing an ambulance or, you know, any of my lot, you know what I mean? I'm fucking dying here, you know, and it's getting worse. I'm laying on my bed and it's getting worse. Bang, 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 bang. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't move nothing. The only thing I could move was my eyes, and I remember looking at the top of my curtains and it was all red and eerie. It was horrible, you know, and I could hear voices. You're all right. Don't worry. And then I started crying, you know. What was happening to me? I'd hit my rock bottom. Now, my rock bottom was the same as anyone in here, you know. It was inside. It's an inside job, yeah, because the illness is an inside job. It ain't like what I hear sometimes in meetings. I've hit loads of rock bottoms. Yeah, what is it then, mate? Ah, the house has been repossessed. The car's been repossessed. She's gone. He's gone. Kids have been taken off me, got no money. Now, if you are in this room tonight and you are new, do not listen to that shit. That is not a rock bottom, right? A rock bottom is an internal snap. You break, mate, inside. It's got nothing to do with outside stuff, because all that is, how it was explained to me by a man armed with the facts, yeah, is the outside circumstances and the consequences of your using. Now, why it's very important to understand this stuff is, when you get the shoes back, the car, the house, whatever you get back, the slippery illness comes in, yeah, because I've seen it. I've been around a little bit now. I've seen it. And it sits on your shoulder, the fox, mate. You're all right now. It starts licking your ear hole. You know? Just treat yourself. Just have one. You deserve it. You don't need these cunts. And all of a sudden, if you ain't connected, you ain't had a proper rock bottom, it seems like a really good idea to go and have one. And then you have it, and then the slippery illness goes, you silly bastard, what'd you do that for? Hey? Because that's what it does, it taunts with you, mate. You know, it taunts with you. It wakes up at the end of the bed, doesn't it? Hello, glad you're up. I've been waiting for you. If you're in a relationship, she's doing your best, mate, you know. You're a piece of shit, you are. Be cleaning your teeth, mate. You've assassinated 100 people, ain't you? You know, because I have to get connected first thing, mate. That's what I have to do, you know. So getting back to my room, when it all went in like that, just God pops into my head. Pray, ask for help. And do you know what? That's as easy as it was. It talks about it in our beautiful book. He comes to all who earnestly seeks him. Well, I wanted him on the 17th of March 2014, you know, and I managed to just fall out of my bed and I got on my hands and knees and I put my hands together and I really meant it and I really wanted it. I said, please help me. I didn't know what I was asking or, you know, I now come to call it God, higher power, you know. I said, please help me. And the tears are running down my cheeks. And I had what's called a massive spiritual experience, mate. Spiritual awakening, as it talks about in our beautiful book, mate. You know, it was so profound. It was like nothing I've ever experienced in my life. I've done some nutty shit in my life. I've done some nutty drugs. I've done some nutty stuff. Nothing comes close to having a spiritual experience, mate, which is outlined in this beautiful book, which you will have. It says you will have it. If you do this stuff open-mindedly, honest and willing, You know, step 12 says having had a spiritual awakening. Not Charlie B. Will, Lee might, Jay possibly. It says you will have one. That's guaranteed. Yeah, step 9 promises, guarantees it to me. That's all come true. So I'm alight with this stuff. I've asked God. God's come in my life. You know, it's like, remember the Ready Brick advert years ago? Remember it on the telly, you know, that glowing thing? That's what it was like, mate. It was like I had 1,000 tons lifted off of me, mate, you know? And I'm buzzing with this stuff, and I managed to get back on my bed, and I laid there, and it was just like, you know, when you have that first drink, or that first line, or that first joint, I needed that. That's what it was like, you know? And I remember waking up really early the next morning. That was a spiritual awakening on its own, mate. Because I'd lay in bed till 10:30, 11, 12 o'clock. You know, I'd be in the bedevilments, mate. Prayed to misery and depression, feeling of uselessness, full of fear, unhappy. So I'm up and I'm alight with this stuff. And I remember ringing my sponsor up. And I said, I've got this, I've done this, I've had this spiritual awakening. He said, come round. So I went round. At the time, it was quite cold, and I had this big Russian hat on my head and a big puffer jacket. And he opened the door, all his hairs all sticking up. He got in, and he said to me, look, I can see what's happened to you, you know what I mean? But I was really alight with this stuff, do you know what I mean? Absolutely on fire. I got my blue book. He said, just got to calm this down a little bit, you know what I mean? He said, what was your past track record? People might think you've gone off your head again, do you know what I mean? And I'm like Muttley the dog, I'm like, yeah. Can't wait to get out, tell the world, I'm going to meetings, and I, you know, and he was taking me meetings, and I was, you know, going to all the meetings where I was going, I was getting my white key ring, you know. Obviously, you all knew, you know, what I was doing, but you know, it was very important for me to do that, you know, to get honest. And it was one of the best things I ever done. And I can remember, I live at home with my dad, and I remember my dad was observing me over these next few days, and I knew what he was thinking. And anyway, they sort of had an intervention on me, and my sponsor come round, and it was in my dad's kitchen, and he said, I'm having him fucking sectioned again. And I got sectioned clean and sober. Yeah. You try going back to a nut house rehab clean and sober, mate. I tell you, that's an awakening. So I'm in there for 2 weeks, and my sponsor said, listen, I really didn't want to go, but he said, listen, it's not about you no more. Your dad's old, you know, just go back there. And I went back in there, and do you know what? It was one of the best things I ever done. You know, I got in there, and all them people that told me that I was schizophrenic, bipolar, and all this stuff, you know, I sort of half got my own back on them a little bit. You know, there was one in particular guy there called Ray, he hated me. He was a complete atheist. And, you know, I don't know if anyone's been in a nut house rehab. Every one of them have got their own little meetings and that. And he was doing this stuff on the board, you know, this like, he was calling it something else, but I know it to be called the Crazy Eight. It's how the human body reacts throughout the day. Tony Robbins does it, and he was doing it all on there. And I sort of butted in a little bit, and I said, Ray, and I was sitting right at the back. He turned around, he went, what? I said, all this stuff might be good, mate, for the hardened user. Yeah, you know, I said, but it ain't going to be no good for the people like me. He went, what are you? What's that with you? What are you doing back in here, mate? What's that with you now? I said, there's nothing wrong with me, mate. I said, I've had a spiritual awakening. I just smiled at him and showed him my blue book. Yeah. I said, and by the way, Ray, I ain't bipolar, schizophrenic, and all that stuff that you said I was, mate. I said, I was just an untreated addict. And that's all there was to it, you know. I was untreated. And like I said, by the grace of God, I'm not on none of that stuff, you know. And they say do 90 meetings in 90 days. Well, obviously, I couldn't do that because I got nutted off. So 30 day was my release date. And I remember my dad come and pick me up. He went, we're going to go and have a nice Chinese at home. I said, whoa. I said, what do you mean, whoa? I wanted that fucking 30-day keyring, mate. I was 30 days on my release date, yeah? I've been nutted off with a load of nutters for fucking 30 days. I want to go to a meeting, don't I? So I went to the Priory, mate, me and my sponsor, and I got my 30-day keyring, mate. And I reset it from there. I'd done 90 meetings in 90 days. I'd done a meeting every single day, you know? By the grace of God, I've just turned 5 years, you know? And do you know what? I do more today than I've ever done. And do you know why? Because I've got more to fucking lose. You know, I've got my never fucker when I come in. You know, I'm still sponsored. I sponsor. I've got service, yeah? I still do at least 3 meetings a week. Yeah, because I was told anything I put in front of this, I'm going to lose it. Yeah? Anything I put in front of recovery, I'm going to lose it. So it ain't worth doing it, you know. I was told I have to give this stuff away to keep it. Yeah, now what that means is helping them new people that are coming in, you know. You know, that's, do you know why the book is blue and yellow? Because that's the colour we are when we come in. Look for the blue and yellow people that are sitting at the back like I was, you know. Don't want to put their heads up, full of fear. You know, go up to them, remember their name, ask them if they want a coffee, like it says in our book, mate. If you keep this stuff simple, like this book is, yeah, you cannot fail, mate. You can join us on the broad highway, as it talks about in the book. Now, if there's anyone in here that's got a bit of a problem with the God thing, yeah, that's fine, that's no problem. Your sponsor will probably go to you, do you believe that I believe? And you'll go, yeah. Especially if you know him, because I knew how fucked he was. And I go, yeah. He go, that's lovely. So you use my God to get you going. You know. Because it says it in here. There is one that has all power, mate. That one is God. May you find him now. And like I said at the start of my chair, mate, if you do this open-minded, winning, and honestly, you will have a spiritual awakening that will blow your canister. I'm telling you, mate, and you continue to have them. The more you do, mate, the more you get out of this stuff. I love it, mate. I love it when someone comes in, right, and they're fucked like I was, and they're sitting in that corner, and they're asleep, totally asleep, thinking that they're awake, and you just get hold of them. You know, take them through this work, mate. Within a couple of days, and you see the old spark coming on, mate. I get a bit of colour back in their face. There's no better gift. You know, now I'm sure we all like a pound note, right? I do, yeah. But I'll tell you something, mate. There's nothing better than helping someone. Taking them through this work, mate. Like the person did for me. Like what Dr. Bob says, mate. Yeah, in his story. I do it, mate, because it is a pleasure. I do it because each time I do it, I'm taking out a little bit more insurance against that possible slip. Because there is in this book, it says there's certain trials and low spots ahead. Now, what that means is, right, people are going to die. You're going to make money. You're going to lose money, yeah? But if you're spiritually fit, mate, you never have to use again. No matter what happens. I've had some testing times in recovery. You know, I'll give you an example. Not so long ago, we thought my dad might have had a cancer. Now, let me tell you something. If there was any time I would have gone, that would have been it. Yeah? Not once did the thought enter my mind to use. Not once. Instead, I was there for my dad. I was present, mate. Yeah? So I know 100% this stuff works. You know, I've seen miracles happen in Cocaine Anonymous, mate. Absolute miracles. I've seen people come in with nothing. Absolutely nothing, mate. People living in graveyards, mate. Yeah, living under trees, in cardboard boxes, mate. Coming in with sometimes not even a fucking plastic bag, nothing. Just the clothes they got on their back. And these people have rebuilt their lives, mate. And it's all down to Cocaine Anonymous, mate. You know, I've seen it time and time again. And what else I've seen quite a lot is people going out. And I always go up to relapsers, not to be clever or to belittle them or anything like that. I go, hello. Got to have a bit of humour. We're not a glum lot, are we, you know? How was it? And they'll go, yeah. It was terrible. I've never been up to a relapse yet, if you have a lot of talk to you, and they say it was fucking great. I had a fantastic time. Oh, yeah. They always come back with little patches over their eyes or walking sticks, you know, don't they? You know? And I go to them, what was it you doing? And they look at you like you're an alien, don't they? What? Where was your higher power? You never had no higher power, mate. You wasn't connected. Yeah, because if you are truly connected to a power greater than yourself, mate, you'll never have to fucking use again. That is a fact. Because people, what they do is, you see, they get connected and they unplug themselves. They unplug themselves. It's not the sponsor's fault or God's fault. It's their fault. They unplug themselves. They go back to sleep, thinking that they're awake. And I go, what happened? Well, you know, I got a new girlfriend. She became my higher power. Oh, I got a new car. Yeah. All that stuff, mate. You know, and I started, you know, swerving this a little bit, swerving that a little bit, you know. Oh, that was good, wasn't it? That was clever. Why would you want to do that? You see, because they go back into that selfishness again. You know, oh, that's all right. Trevor will put the chairs out for me. Or Dave will make the tea. You know. Fucking EastEnders is on. I don't want to go there, you know. It's a bit cold, isn't it? Can't do that stuff, mate. You cannot do that. I can't afford to do that anyway, because I know what will happen to me. I will use, and if I use again, I will die. I haven't got another go in me, mate. I have not got another go in me. They said to me, if you come back to this place, you're going to be in that padded cell, mate. You know, totally insane. So if you are new, or you are struggling, or you're back from a relapse, mate, just take the cotton wool out your ears and put it in your mouth. Shut up. Take a bit of direction. You know, because I was one of them. I was one of them. Yeah, I know, yeah, but I know. The mate and call the arsehole. I knew nothing, but I thought I knew everything. And that is the truth. I knew nothing, mate. I had to be taught, you know, how to conduct myself. You know, and I do that on a daily basis. You know, I'm accountable today. You know, if you ring me and ask me to do something, I'll do it. I'm normally known as the last minute man. People ring me up at fucking 12 o'clock in the day, can you do a chair tonight? And I'll be there. Because I have to be, mate. You know, my life depends on this stuff. And I'll end it on this. Alcoholics Anonymous, yeah? This is what it really means. A life centered on helping others lives in complete sobriety. Actions, not our names, your maintenance of unity and service, and that's all there is to it. Thanks for letting me share. God bless.